and says, nope. Your child may not leave that game right now. Nope. I'm not going to move it. I will not make an extraction, Paul. However, I will make a deposit. My grace is sufficient for you. I won't take the thorn away, but what I will do is I'll give you favor in the midst of your frustration. And I wish I had somebody who can testify. I'd rather have favor than finances. Because finances can leave me, but if I got favor, I can get a job I didn't qualify for. If I got favor, I can get a house with top credit. If I got favor. So some of you are wondering, why won't the devil leave me alone? When is this attack going to leave? It may not leave. It may not leave by December 31st, 2014. But can I tell you what will happen? Whenever there is a foe, God will give you favor. And truth be told, that's the only reason why some of us ain't committed suicide. That's the only reason why some of us still got our right minds. It's because God kept you with his grace when you couldn't keep yourself. And that's why you shouldn't need a praise team to pump you happy or a preacher to preach you happy. But when you think about the grace of God, how he's kept you, it's by everything you've been through. He says, I'm not going to move it because my strength is made perfect in your weakness. In other words, Paul, the weaker you are, the stronger I am. And he said, therefore, most gladly will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He said, so most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities. He said, so get this now. I take pleasure in my reproaches. I take pleasure in my necessities. I take pleasure in my persecution. I take pleasure in my infirmities. I take pleasure in my distresses. For Christ's sake. Paul says, for when I'm weak, then am I strong. And so here's the reality. You and I would never be strong if it was not for the enemy's attacks. Do we have a witness in the building? And so I've learned how to thank God for every demonic adversity. I've learned how to thank God for every trap the enemy has set for me. Because now I recognize that it was by God's grace that I'm here on tonight. And Varick Memorial should be able to testify that God's grace has kept you for 196 long years. Do I have a witness in the building? And we can give God praise because whenever the enemy is messing, the Lord he is blessing. Do I have a witness in the building? And I don't know about it all tonight. But I thank God because I've had many tears and sorrows. And I've had questions for tomorrow. There have been times in my life, y'all, where I didn't write from wrong. But in every situation, he gives me blessed consolation. He lets me know that I am here on. I thank God for my mountains. I thank my God for my valleys. Yes, Lord, I thank him for the storms he's already brought me through. Cause if I never had a problem, I would not know that God could solve. Yeah, I wouldn't know tonight what faith in God's word can do. Do I have a witness in the building? Yes, Lord. I don't know about y'all tonight, but I've had some good days. And I've had some bad days. Yes, Lord. And I've had tonight some hill to climb. But when I look around and think things over, and all of my good days still outweigh my bad days, and I won't complain. And why don't you shake a neighbor's hand and say, neighbor, I don't know about you tonight, but I've had my share of life's ups and downs. And I've had my share of it alone. But through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. Do I have a witness around me in Connecticut? Through it all, the trust in God. Can you see? Yeah. Ooh, yeah. I got a clue now, but I'm reminded of an old story. Yeah, in August of 2005, a hurricane called Katrina came through the Gulf Coast region. Oh, Lord. In the city of New Orleans, in the Ninth Ward, there was an old lady who was taking care of a grandson. This grandmother was taking care of a grandson because his mama was in jail and his daddy had been killed in gang violence. They were poor and lived in a shotgun house. They were very poor. You can look through the roof and see the stars. Look through the floor and see the dirt. But that night when Katrina came to New Orleans, that old lady and her son, grandson, had to stand on the roof of the house. They were rescued by a boat that took them to the Morial Convention Center down there in New Orleans, Louisiana. They were there without food for a couple of days. But after being there for about 1 week, a bus from Atlanta, Georgia, a group of philanthropists came to New Orleans and brought busloads of people from New Orleans back to Atlanta. When they got them back to Atlanta, they interviewed the old lady who did not have a job, did not have a 401k or 403b. She was poor and impoverished. Her grandson was getting ready to graduate from high school in 2006. But can I tell y'all what happened when she went to the interview? She came out of the interview about 45 minutes later. And when she came out of the interview, she was smiling. She was singing and she was whistling. Her grandson was having a crisis of faith. He believed that God had abandoned him. He looked at his grandmama and said, grandmama, why are you singing? We don't have a roof over our heads. We lost everything that we own. But then the grandmama looked at the grandboy and said, son, you don't understand. While I was in the interview, I interviewed with six people, and I got good news for you. They're gonna get me a job as a receptionist at the Emory University Hospital. Son, they're gonna pay me $65,000 a year. More money than I ever made in my entire life. She said, son, they're gonna build us a brand new house. Son, it's gonna have 4 bedrooms. Gonna have 2.5 bathrooms. I'm gonna have me a jacuzzi in the master bathroom. But she looked at her grandson and said, what you don't understand is this. If it had not been for the trouble that we had, if it had not been for the wind and the rains, we wouldn't be blessed the way we're blessed. And so the storm really was a blessing in the sky, because after the hell we've been through, God's gonna give us a favor. Now do me a favor, say to neighbors and look at somebody and say,
frustration to favor. Open your mouth right now and pray for those people that you're touching. Don't you play with this. Open your mouth. Let's fill this auditorium. Open your mouth. Open your mouths and pray for those. It doesn't matter if you know their names or not. them, lead them.
And gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mom, and tell me what he's been to you.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters of Central Louisiana. It's going to be all right for you. Got Pastor Dunkley of the Mount Olive Baptist Church, 4711 England Drive, Alexandria, Louisiana. Call your friend, call your neighbors, and tell them it's going to be all right because Pastor Dunkley's on the airway. This morning, just for a few minutes, God's amazing grace. God's amazing grace. When you woke up this morning, it was not your clock, even though you have set it an hour ahead. It was not the children's. It wasn't Snowball. Nor Chico that woke me up this morning, but it was God's amazing grace. This hymn was written by John Newton, which was a British ship captain. And at the age of 8, his mother prayed for him that he would be saved. And in that shipwreck, hauling slaves from Africa to Britain, England, he was shipwrecked. And down on the shores of a wrecked ship, he began to pen these words: God's amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Then he goes on to say, through many dangers, tars and snares, I've already nothing but the grace of God. And that's all we can say, that it's amazing. It's amazing because it reaches down to all human beings. His grace is astonishing in that it excels all human reasoning. His grace is accomplishing in that it perfects all human requirements. Prior to this text, Paul says, before God extended his grace to us, we were dead in transgressions, sin. We were the object of God's wrath. We followed the ways of the world. We were God's enemies. We were enslaved to Satan. We were fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. By nature, we were children of disobedience who chose, hear me good, to disobey God and serve the devil. When you do wrong, you choose to do it. You make that choice. You can say whoever you want to say made you do it, but actuality, you made that decision to do whatever it is, good, bad, or indifferent. But because of God's great love for us, he's rich in mercy. He quickened us. He made us alive in his Holy Spirit. Yes. And even when we were dead in our transgressions, he saved us. He quickened us. In other words, this word grace, it's God's love in action. God's merit favor towards us. In his mercy, God does not give us what we deserve. Yes. And in his grace, he gives us what we don't deserve.
Yes.
Mercy. Yes. It's amazing. He does not give us what we do deserve. But in grace, he gives us what we don't deserve. Though we deserve condemnation, but through God's matchless grace, he provided us with justification. We are justified by faith. We deserve death, but through God's amazing grace, he grants us eternal life when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. We deserve to be sent to hell, but through his massive grace, he offers us heaven. He offers us eternal life through Jesus Christ. And it's my choice. It's my choice to accept him or reject him. And we saw in that Sunday school lesson that everybody don't accept Jesus. There are those that are bound to go to hell. They've made up their mind that they're going to do their own thing. But there are others that have chosen to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And that 10th verse, I want to say something there. That now he says that, for we are his workmanship, his trophies, created in Christ Jesus for good works. We were created for good works that God had prepared for us to do before we even came, before the foundation of the world, that we should walk in them. Now, we are not saved by good deeds, but he has saved us that we will do good deeds. It's not work that saves us. You got folks preaching, got preachers preaching that's lost. Deacon, that's lost. Usher, that's lost. Choir singing, that's lost. Because if you have not accepted Jesus, no matter what role you play in the church, that ain't going to save you. You got to accept Jesus. Savior, he says in Corinthians that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, and all things are passed away, it all become new. There ought to be a difference in you now, because you are a new creation. You're not the same, but yet there's a lot of that same stuff still in us. But as we get more of God in us and allow the Holy Spirit to work in us and through us, we become more like Christ. You don't have to continue to do wrong. You can choose to do right. That's a choice that we make. Because of his grace, he gives us a second opportunity to get it right with God. I come by to tell you this morning that there's too much church play, too much hypocrisy. People teach, preach one thing and do something else. They talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. Your walk and your talk ought to be the same. Yeah. If there's a difference in your walk and your talk, something is wrong. You don't see the saints wearing no blue uniform. Huh? The colors is black and gold. My team color is white and blue. Or light blue and dark blue. Powder blue. Lighten up on that now, because we got some saints fans in here now. But what I'm saying here, you know who the saints are just by looking at the uniform. You don't even have to listen. You don't even have to hear the announcer or anything. When you see that black and gold, you know that's the saints. When you see that big G in black and gold, you know that's grandma. And when you see that blue and gold, that's SU. Southern University.